everyone, Kevin Rose here. Welcome to Proof, a podcast dedicated to the NFT ecosystem. Here we interview artists and builders shaping the NFT space with a focus on high-quality projects. Now, the episode you're listening to now was actually first released on my other podcast, Modern Finance, but as we decided to kick off this show, we wanted to re-release my previous NFT episodes here so that this feed represents all of the NFT content that I've created. Now, going forward, the Modern Finance podcast will have a focus on finance, and this Proof podcast will have all of the NFT content. If you're a fan of all things blockchain, you'll want to subscribe to both shows. So with that, enjoy the show. Today, I'm speaking with Sebastian Bourget. He is the co-founder and the chief operating officer of The Sandbox, which is a decentralized gaming virtual world with NFTs. So you might be asking, why are we covering a game? Why talk about this? How does it apply to finance? Well, yet again, we're seeing blockchain reimagine another space, and this time gaming, which is, of course, a massive category. Now, there are two big shifts to consider. One, you can now hold a blockchain-based token for these virtual worlds, which is essentially letting you hold part of their economy. And two, as you all know, if you get into a game and you purchase an item in a game, that item tends to be just locked up in that game. That's the way that gaming has always worked. It just is locked into that ecosystem. But now with NFTs, you can sell or move these items from one game to another. So for example, if I hold a vintage, let's say, in-game Metallica t-shirt, I could then take that t-shirt and move it to another game and put it on another avatar, or I could just resell it because I own that asset. And of course, if you're more on the creative side and you want to spend the time and effort, you can build these virtual items and resell them for these native tokens, which you then cash out for your local currency. So it's pretty crazy. You can buy and sell items for real cash now. You can actually buy virtual land and resell it. And you can buy the token that powers the entire game. Basically, what I'm saying is, in the not too distant future, there is a world where you could own a level of a future Super Mario Brothers that you created and get paid a microtransaction every time someone plays it. It's pretty nuts. Okay, so for today's show, we're talking to Sebastian from The Sandbox. I highly recommend going to the website, checking out the game. They have a lot of gameplay footage there. It looks really cool. It's sandbox.game is the URL. In terms of aesthetic, it's more on the kind of pixelated Lego style, which I actually really like versus trying to be too realistic. And I should also mention, if you're doing the research in this space, there are a few other players you'll want to check out. Decentraland, CryptoVoxels, and one called Somnium. So it's a lot to wrap your head around. It's very early, but that's a good thing. And I just thought it's important to get this stuff on your radar. So with that, enjoy the show.
Kevin Rose and his guests are not registered investment advisors. All opinions are Kevin's and his guests alone. Nothing discussed today should be relied upon for investment decisions, nor is it investment advice. This show is solely for information and entertainment purposes only. Please work directly with an investment professional.
Sebastian, thanks for joining me. I'm honored to have you on.
Thanks, Kevin, for hosting me. I'm super hyped as well to be here with you today and to tell, to speak, have an open conversation and speak about Sandbox, NFTs, and Metaverse.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about Sandbox because I know that you've been at this for a very long time. And do you want to just quickly give us the background of what you've done over the last few years and where you are today?
Sure. So I've been myself a serial entrepreneur for close to 14 years now with my business partner, Arch Madrid. Together, we've co-founded four companies. Three of them have been acquired. We started in 2007 in the space, always being pioneers in technology, new technologies. First company was using BitTorrent, a peer-to-peer protocol to enable video-on-demand downloads for Ketchup TV, video, etc. We sold that company to a CDN network. Then we were one of the first into the online media storage for your photo, video, and music and streaming to your friends before the cloud was even called the cloud or before Spotify or Netflix. Sold the company again. 2011, we were one of the first mobile free-to-play game studios that was working with IPs and brands and was doing UGC. And that company was acquired in 2018 by Animoca Brands, parent company now of Sandbox. And as such, Sandbox, it's an IP that's over a decade old, started on iOS and Android as a game where users could turn any player into a creator by essentially allowing them to create those 2D pixel world where you drop water, soil elements, characters, enemies with a touch of your finger on the screen, and you could share that creation online. But with all, it had a huge success, like over 40 million installs. But that game had one flaw in a way, like with all the content that creators made, more than 70 million creation, millions of active users, contributed massively to the success of the game, and we had literally no way to reward those creators. So at the end of 2017, when we saw CryptoKitties and CryptoPunks, NFTs, one of the first NFTs appearing, rather than applying it to virtual cats, we thought, why don't we enable our creators, anyone to make their NFT and use that to reward the creator through the creation. That's how the sandbox, as you know it now, as a 3D virtual world with a multiplayer, multi-platform, and that used blockchain and NFT was born and has reached the state where it is now today.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a beautiful world. People have to go to sandbox.game and see what the world looks like. It's got a beautiful aesthetic to it. So you are running the world in a centralized fashion, but the assets inside of the world are all NFTs. Is that correct?
All the assets, the lens, the avatar, the wearable of the avatars, all of these are indeed NFTs. You own anyone can create 3D assets, turn them into an NFT, start selling, trading them with other users, and so monetize their creation. You can also monetize their games once they publish them on their land. And we have also our own utility token, SAND. That's a medium of exchange, a way to participate in the governance of the platform and also for staking. So over the next 5 years, we will be fully decentralized. All the lands, all the NFTs, all the SAND will be in the hands of the community itself. In that extent, I would say we are no longer a centralized entity running that world.
Gotcha. And so let's break this apart one piece at a time. As a creator, I can come in and you've created an editor that I can then use and download and build these kind of three-dimensional objects. And they can be pretty much anything. Like you could build a sofa, you could build a house. What are the limitations there and how does that work exactly?
You've nailed it down. Like one very important piece of the Sandbox platform is we've spent a lot of time into providing great creation tools that will enable anyone to make NFTs that are beautiful, easy to make. Think of voxel 3D block as digital Legos. Mm-hmm. Almost anyone knows how to use and build stuff with Legos. And stuff that has actual utility on the platform. So it's not just a crypto art or a collectible as an NFT. It's going to be an entity which has behavior used in our game maker. So then you can create worlds in minutes, create fun experience, create RPG type games with those NFTs without any single line of code. It can be wearables to change the look and feel of your avatar and hence define your identity into this virtual world. It can be equipment that also put on an avatar is going to affect your skills, your different attributes like attack, magic, defense, power, and luck. So essentially, making you run faster, have a better attack, better defense with your character, and hence increase your chance at play to earn. Or it can be just purely art, but in a new way, in 3D art, because voxel, like Legos, it's a craft. You can make a simple voxel with just a few blocks, like you can make voxel that takes days or months of work with literally thousands of blocks, and that can have value through the time that's been dedicated to create those and animate those with our tool.
Yeah, that's so cool because I feel like most traditional NFTs that we know of, when you go and browse OpenSea or some of these other marketplaces, you typically see like a piece of art, something static, or it might be a movie or it might move. And these are actual objects that have real attributes that are used in a virtual world, which is really cool. I'm curious, if you're building something that's static, let's just say something boring like a couch or something, that doesn't have any attributes other than it's just an object that can be placed in the world. How do you define things? You said speed and power and defense. Like, how do you create these additional extended attributes to a 3D object?
That's, I think, all the beauty of the great creation tool. Like, we want anyone to give life to their NFTs in our virtual world. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great example you're taking, like, all right, this sofa is going to sit, it's not usable. That's not true, because even though it's a sofa, with the animation, it could become something else. It could be, it could have idle animation and animation depending on various trigger and action. And with the game maker, you can actually assign components to it, behaviors and components. That's the way it works, which means like it could become a door. It could be a point, a healing point. It could actually spawn enemies, etc. There's no limit to the imagination behind of how a game creator can utilize that NFT made by an artist.
Who defines the components? Like who creates those attributes?
So in the new, originally in the original model, we thought that artists would be the one who defined, but we are moving to a new model where artists just define the number of copies and then a game creator can NFT owner can actually upgrade those NFTs with different mechanics and then will be able to choose which attributes they will have so that when they use them in the game makers, they can indeed impact the gameplay in a manner that's more or less visible through that.
Gotcha. And then if, let's say, for example, as a company, you're like, okay, I'll just take like jumping, for example. You can say, we only want people to be able to jump so high. Do you have a way for the community to participate in the voting of which components are created and the kind of limitations? Because you could really do anything, right? You could define and say, users can fly, for example, or users can fly for a certain amount of time in this virtual world. Who gets to make those decisions? Is that going to eventually be governance that is handled by the community?
I think ultimately, yes. Like we're seeing the future of the sandbox gaming virtual world over a decade. And at the moment, this is very, I would say it's still like us and how we are building that game maker who decide most of the feature and the possibility behind. But after, once we put in place the DAO and the governance, we could enable users to vote on this thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be surprised that in user-generated content, like always users do and find things even better than your internal team. The game maker has already been in the hands of thousands of creators around the world. They shared creations. They found ways to make stuff, amazing stuff, like teleporters that make you feel you move into different rooms inside the land, using some skilling and respawning tricks, using hidden rooms in the land, mechanism for visual effect that we didn't even yet think how to implement properly. So that's also the power of UGC. When you put in place sometimes some sort of restriction, people are able to find workarounds,
yeah,
share that knowledge around, they stream about it on various YouTube, Twitch, etc. And now we have more and more game makers that are using those tips to make even better experience, more fun, more effect, etc. So that, in a way, it's amazing as well that it always surprises you the quality of the content once you have a good starting base.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is, what is the primary use case for someone when they come into this world? Because there's obviously lots of virtual worlds where you can just run around and talk to people and bump into them and things like that. You had mentioned spawning of enemies. Is there some type of game there to be played where there's warfare that happens, or what goes on in the environment?
Yeah, but the sky is the limit. So we provide feature sets where, for example, our first package of our game maker is essentially around RPG, MMORPG. So we have social feature, chat, emotes, animations. And on the RPG side, you have the capacity to have an inventory for your character, collect item, quest, time-based quest, victory condition, fighting, platforming, spawning, etc. We've seen people enabled to create not only RPG or adventure game, but many other things, platformer, emergent games, social quiz, who wants to be a millionaire, we've seen someone make, or exploration game, mazes, etc. We're going to keep updating, adding more and more package for first-person shooter, other type of game.
And when you say like a package, what does that mean exactly? Let's say, for example, I come in and I want to just have a peaceful experience and kind of walk around and explore, but I don't want to play the warfare type piece of it. Are there certain lands that are designated for that type of activity, or how does that work?
Yes, actually, it's a great jump into what will be soon. Around May, we'll be opening the first public alpha to players. And you'll see it's a set of lands that offers all those sort of experience. Some of them are just social hub for chatting, for discovering art, just platforming. Some other are like lands, flat lands where you fight sometimes enemies. Then some are full games. So we want to show really all the different type of experience that you can encounter into this world. players and all the users involved into this virtual world, they would get a first taste of the potential of Sandbox over time as all those mechanics, all this content will progressively be improved with new update and hence new packages, as I mentioned.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So how does the division of land work today? Like, I see that there are big companies, Atari owns a chunk of land. How are you thinking about land sales? What's happened so far? And when you buy land, do you actually have the rights to do whatever you want on that land? How does that work?
I think that's a great question. And we've designed this map with 166, 464 lands in total. There will never, ever be any one more. Each land is an NFT, has its own location. We sold out to date about 45% of the land through the past year and a half for pre-sale wave. And we still have 91,000 lands available for sale. And we're planning to continue public sale waves until, I would say, the middle to the end of 2022. So there will be land supply. Land will be still reasonably priced and accessible. And we're developing new neighborhoods, developing new areas, which we put for sale on a regular basis, every 2 weeks, every month or so, introducing partners, brands, celebrities, sport club, game studios, who acquire those land with a clear objective to build experience there and to be part right now of that virtual world. But when we make sure that they have a clear project and we have the resource to build the game and experience on top of them, so that you will feel that Sandbox World has a lot of diversity, it's very rich, no matter which location you will go as a player. And that's something important. We didn't want to sell 100% of the map right from the beginning and try and only have like a very central location that would concentrate most of the stuff and all around, all the land around be less valuable because there will be less content on it. And hence, for players, would be more boring to explore.
Right.
It's very decentralized, all the hotspots. And seeing the logo, seeing the brands, as you saw, they are landmarks in this world. Like creators, they want to own land nearby those because they know they will get more traffic, more visitors. And also, they can create complementary experiences. We can create those neighborhoods where one place is a club that will be hosting DJs. One place is like a yoga lounge where you can come and chat with other users and potentially like stream or give a session. One is another game. That each area will be interesting for both players and creators.
Understood. And how big are the parcels of land? Like when someone is purchasing one of these drops that you're doing, can they fit a house on it? Is it like a city block? What size are we talking here?
I think there's two things we're quite proud of at Sandbox. It's the size of our land, one by one, really large. It's 96 blocks by 96 blocks by 128 blocks vertically. So within the land, you can spend several minutes to walk from one side to another side. You can create games that takes half an hour to 1 hour to be completed into one single parcel of land. Creators are not limited on their creative capacity by the size of the land. That was very important for us.
When you said walking across the one parcel, how long did you say? I missed that.
Well, can take 2 to 3 minutes.
Basically, 2 to 3 minutes. Okay.
If it's not,
so it's
flat.
Big. Yeah.
It is big, yeah, and we try to show it over our YouTube channel, our social media channel. When you follow some videos, some live stream from creator, you can really see like how big the space is, and so creators are not constrained in that sense. The second thing we're quite proud of as well is like the number of landowners in Sandbox. We have about 5,600 landowners, which makes it a land that, even though it's not only 45% of it has been sold, one of the most decentralized in nature because it has so many unique landowners. Like it's not just 100 couple landowners that control the whole world. And you say, yes, it's on the blockchain, it's decentralized, but in the end, it's very few people who own all of this and decide what's going to happen here.
And then when you do a drop of new land, I take it they just sell out pretty quickly. What is your base price for a new parcel of land? And then what are you seeing some of the hotter ones selling for in the aftermarket?
The base price has been announced at the origin. It was a price in sand, and we stick to that price from there. So typically a one by one is currently 1,000 cents and it will stay 1,000 cents. How we change the price potentially is what is included in the land. So a land, an empty land, starts at 1,000 cents, and then depending on their size, there's a multiple and a certain discount based on the size. But once we include exclusive NFTs that can be used by the creators that are collectible and have a gameplay utility or wearable for the avatar, then the price can potentially increase. Secondary market, we're looking at OpenSea, looking at nonfungible.com. Typically, we've seen the average price for land is around $900 on the secondary market, mm-hmm. whereas it was around $40 initially. So we've seen a 20x increase of the overall value of our map from $5 million in total to $37 million market cap of the land.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And then what are people using the SAND token for exactly, and how do they acquire it?
Now, as I mentioned, it's a first medium of exchange on the platform. You need SAND to acquire land in Sandbox. Until recently, you could only acquire land with SAND, but since we launched the marketplace in beta this week, we've seen now that you can use SAND to buy NFT made by the community of artists on the marketplace, and the artists receive directly the SAND to their wallet. SAND, how do you get SAND? There's several ways to earn SAND. You can actually, as I mentioned, as an artist, make NFTs, submit them, and we list them, so you will be earning revenue from your craft. You can buy it on various exchanges. You can win it participating at several contests. So we have every week VoxEdit contests where you make those 3D models and the community gets to vote for the most popular and the winners win. Or game jams, actually, as well. We are launching our fourth jam with a lot of video game industry judges behind, including Ubisoft, Square Enix, and many Glu Mobile and several game studios. And the price for this game jam as of today, it's 300,000 sand. So all our prices are in sand. But as of today, $300,000 of sand is about $250,000. So the winner of that game jam is going to earn, if I'm correct, close to $100,000, which makes it one of the largest game jam in terms of price, even in the traditional game industry. And we hope it makes it very appealing value proposition for creators, developers around the world to see that they can create really cool games in Sandbox and earn and be able to publish them in our virtual world afterwards.
When you say the game jam, what is that exactly? What do people do? How do they participate in that?
So in game jam, traditionally in the video game industry, it's contest that lasts 24 hours, 48 hours, sometimes mm-hmm. more, like in our case, 1 month, where anyone in the world can, not necessarily a game programmer, can submit a creation, submit a game, either alone or working with a team of people assembled. And based on the ratings, there's a judge, there's a jury that reviews those games being made. And well, the winner receive a prize. So it's, I would say it's a creative competition for game creation in a short amount of time. Sometimes working with people you never worked around, but getting together as creative to build it.
Gotcha. What language is that written in?
So that's the beauty of Sandbox Game Maker. It's totally no code. There's no programming required. So you don't write any single line of code. Just drag and drop the asset in a scene. They have behaviors. You can change those behaviors. You can add components for extra actions, create chain reaction, etc. And we provide a lot. We have the Game Maker Academy. We have 100 streams per month with 20 different creators that share tips using it in many languages. So it's really beautiful as well to see the community spreading the knowledge and the know-how to use the Game Maker.
Okay, that makes sense. So you have the three products basically at this point that people can interact with. There's a Game Maker, the Vox Edit, which is where they can create the NFTs, and then the Avatar Creator. Is that correct?
Those are the free creation tools, mm-hmm. and then I can count the marketplace as well as an extra product where users can sell their NFT, can interact, can buy land, etc.
Very cool. And so when is your plan to actually take this live? You go to the homepage and the environment looks just breathtaking. It looks like a lot of fun. How can people actually get into that environment and play around? Is there an alpha coming?
Exactly, yes. You can start downloading the Game Maker, play some of the game made by other in the gallery. It's not yet on the map, not yet related to blockchain, but it gives you a first taste. Then we have the public alpha that's coming, and we started teasing it officially. So essentially we're aiming to open by May the possibility to a certain number of users to access this explorer seasons, which will give them a first taste of what play to earn is. Essentially they'll be able to enter everyone can access the main hub and socialize, discover there, etc. So anyone there will feel what it is to be into a social virtual world. But to access the season, you'll need to have a certain NFT ticket to enter. And through the ownership of that NFT, then you get the right to participate into a 15 days long, more or less, we are still adjusting that duration, to be able to play all the creation made by a community of creators or made by us, test the different things that we talked about earlier, the sandbox platform provide. And based on the percentage of completion, you will be able to claim different rewards, with those rewards being NFTs as well, and potentially including sand token for the highest tier, which in a way means that the time you'll spend into playing, socializing, engaging in the platform is converted into NFTs that you can either keep and collect, or potentially trade and sell on marketplaces and generate a revenue stream from it.
And then can people bring in their existing, so I know that they can create NFTs with your tools, but let's just say I have some existing artwork that I've gotten that are standard Ethereum NFTs. Will I be able to place those inside of the environment so I can see my CryptoPunks or others on my walls if I'm building something out?
That's a very demanded feature, obviously, and it's logical. As an open metaverse, we're looking to be interoperable with the other NFTs. And soon in the Game Maker, so we're aiming to have next release next week, creators will be able indeed to import the NFTs and display them inside their lands.
That's very cool. I love it. I have to ask you, there's obviously some other projects out there with CryptoVoxels and Decentraland, and I'm sure a couple others that I'm not mentioning, but how do you position yourself out there? And how do you think that you're different than these other products that are getting off the ground?
Absolutely. But first, I think it's amazing that there are so many different decentralized virtual worlds as well in the space. Decentraland is part of the pioneers. CryptoVoxel has position itself really strongly as well for art and events. And Somnium Space is one of the best into the VR space. And all of them, we have regular talk on different panels. They're also member of the Blockchain Game Alliance, which I'm the president of as well. So it's great to see how we evolve each in the space and how all the cool different things we do. The way we position Sandbox, as I mentioned a bit before, it's related to gaming metaverse. So we wanted to start with the creation tool to build content, good content and game asset, and the Game Maker as a starting point. We're not yet open like the others. So I would say we're on purpose. We decided to wait more till we feel like the quality of our tools is ready for any creator to be able to publish and do cool stuff on their land. That's 2021, we will be open. And besides the gaming angle, I would say the fact that we work to bring IPs and brands in our metaverse. So for most of them, it's the first time they are creating NFTs, and with Sandbox, they get this present in the virtual world. They create NFTs that are not just aesthetic art or collectible, but are true game assets that can be used by creators, can be used by their fans for building their own adventures, building their own games for the first time using them. These are things that they couldn't even do before outside of a blockchain world. There's no UGC game based with a Smurf or Care Bears or some of the IPs we are coming with. And now we enable anyone to create their very own Smurf games, publish them, socialize in the Smurf hub, etc. This is also a very interesting value proposition. And the last thing is like our map, as I mentioned, has not been fully sold out initially. So it's still a very evolving virtual world in that sense. You don't know in advance which partner will come, which area will develop, which game studio will be here or there and build. So I love our map. I feel like if you see it, every day it changes, it's a living heart of a sandbox. Every time you come back, you see, and someone transacted the land, you see a new logo, you see potentially a new project happening. When we open new areas, we attract more people into the sandbox. We grow it and its communities. That's very beautiful.
That's great. And if someone is lucky enough to acquire a piece of land, can they start locally developing what they want to have on that land so that by the time you do have the alpha, they can just publish all of those assets directly into the world?
Absolutely. That's why we made the Game Maker beta available so that anyone can start creating even without owning a land. So the ownership of a land is not a requirement to start creating. We also keep a large amount of land and reserve on our map so that the best creators will receive lands from us to publish their games on the map.
Very cool.
Ownership of the land shouldn't be a privilege, we think.
Yes, that makes sense. And is everything going back to the Ethereum blockchain, or do you use Flow, or what are your thoughts there?
We've been building for the past 3 years on the Ethereum blockchain. It's one of the blockchain that back then had the largest developer ecosystem and suite of tools available for development. We have actually been contributing to some of those standards there, including fungible token with metadata. So we co-created ERC-7 Horizon games to facilitate transaction. Essentially, if you have 1,000 SWORD, it's not 1,000 NFTs, but it's one NFT with 1,000 supply of 1,000. And we added the capacity to extract a single ERC-721 from it, so having the backward compatibility. Definitely, there's a lot of blockchain and a better solution that's appearing in the space while Ethereum is moving forward, Ethereum 2.0. There's also the Layer 2 solution that's advancing quite well, like Arbitrum, ZK Rollup, Optimism as well. We see solution, we're talking to solution like Immutable X, etc. We see people building bridges for the NFTs as well, which I think is an interesting angle that fits several use cases for what the users are looking for without changing the whole tech which a project can be built on. It's a great start of the year already. Like, we see a lot of progress from various technical team around the world to provide a solution, and we're looking at space. We're considering all the best options for the user experience.
This is great. I'm curious, Sebastian, for people that they're listening to this and they're like, okay, I want to get in, I want to build something, or I want to try and get a piece of land. Where can people go? What's the best way to stay up to date? Do you send like email newsletters in advance to new drops, or should they go directly to the website? How can they start?
Yeah, the first starting point is our community. We have one of the largest Discord, Telegram, and Twitter base. I think close to 50,000 members on each of those channels. That's where our community is one of the most helpful. Like, they stream, they help each other, like how to become a creator, how to learn using the different tools, etc. The sales are announced in advance. Like, it's not like instantly, suddenly, sudden drop you didn't know about. Every land sale is usually 1 to 2 weeks announced before, so everyone gets the chance to prepare, being aware that it's coming. Of course, there's always the secondary market that's available as well, in case you missed potentially acquiring the land at the location you wanted. There's also different ways now to get engaged. Like, we've seen people building DAOs that regroups different landowners and game creators. We've seen guilds that are shaping, for example, with Yield Games, which essentially is training players to play to earn games, collect rewards, and then split the rewards among the members of the guild. So it's really interesting how the dynamics of a virtual world like ours, NFT based, are actually playing through community based incentive.
Yeah, it is so cool. This is going to be a really fun project when it launches. The reason I reached out to you and wanted to have this conversation is because I've played with obviously all the other virtual worlds and poked around, but when I looked at what you were building and just the uniqueness and just the general aesthetic of how cool it looks, you've done such a fantastic job. And so I'm excited for this launch. This is great. Thank you for being on the show, Sebastian. So sandbox.game is the place to go. They will find all of the links there to your Discord and everything else. That's correct?
That's correct.
And if people want to follow you personally, where would they do that?
On my Twitter, I think I have I post regularly on Twitter, so that's the best place to reach me out usually and follow. I tend to tease a little bit too much what's coming before the official announcement as well. So
it's hard when you're excited about something to keep it under wraps.
Exactly, like UGC. Like every morning I wake up, I'm blown away by the creativity of our artists, of our game creator. I see all the cool stuff our team is doing in advance. And I know it's just months away before we launch it. And I just have to wait. Can I tease it? Can I tease it? No, wait, it's not ready. It looks so cool already, right?
Yeah.
That's, so, yes, a lot of excitement around it.
That's awesome. Well, I'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes. And Sebastian, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Kevin. It's been a great conversation. Thanks for following us and all the kind words. And really looking forward to bring more people to our meta.
Oh, I'm going to be building.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun with this too. So stay tuned for what I build. This looks like a fun environment for me to mess around with. So I can't wait.
Same wise. We'll be here to help. Anything you need, you ask us, we'll provide support.
Awesome. All right, that is it for this episode. If you liked it, do me a favor. Number one thing you could do to help out is just send it off to a couple friends. Hit the share button on whatever podcast app you're on. Send it to a couple buddies. That would help out a ton. If you want all the show notes, all the links we talked about today, modern.finance is the URL. Head on over there. And of course, you can sign up for my newsletter there. And you can also rate the show. There's a link at the very top of the site. Thanks so much. Take care.